heart. Nothing. This, as much as it's a blessing, becomes an idol and a curse in our life. And I love it. I appreciate it. It's a wonderful tool, but it ain't my life. Jesus is my everything.
Amen.
You see, I've had to understand that. Why do we fast? Why do you fast? Because your leadership asked you. Yay. And how many of you did well? Don't put up your hand. Okay? But here's the thing. Here's why you fast sometimes. First of all, I don't fast unless my leadership asks me and I submit to my leadership. Or I know Jesus is really calling me to that fast. Because fasting is not the answer. Obedience is. It's obedience to what the Word is saying and what God's calling me to. See, obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what he means there. So it's not about the fasting. Fasting is a tool. To what? To dying to something in your life that's controlling your life. You see, because when this, or even your job, even ministry, when it becomes the focal point, it becomes an idol because you think about it more than you do Jesus. So what do? You're worshiping it. Even struggling with sickness, disease, being successful, I've got to be successful in everything I do, that becomes an idol. Because you see, my first love is supposed to be Jesus. But you see, you can't do that. Only he can do it. So therefore, we say, Jesus, what's standing in the way? And you know what's interesting? I'm a full-time coach, a full-time dad, and a full-time foster parent, a full-time whatever I have to do. And that's what I'm learning, is learning how to love the hell out of people. When you love a foster daughter who has been abused sexually, emotionally, and all that stuff, and she's got no love to give you back, how do you keep loving? How do you look past the stuff and still love them with the love of Christ? You see, you gotta die. You gotta die to being offended. You gotta die to feel insecure. You gotta die to finding your identity in being accepted by others. That becomes an idol. See, if I give attention and you don't give it back, oh, they don't love me. They don't like me. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. No. That's an idol. Your identity is in people, not in Jesus. But you see, the very thing you're looking for comes out of your relationship with Jesus. He said, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Usually preachers use that to get money. To bless you. Okay, God's going to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Here's, take up the offering. The more you give, the more you get blessed. I hate that. I do. There's truth to it. But we've made it all about money. When riches means the kingdom is at hand. Jesus is there. You know what's happening in the world today? Maybe some of you know, maybe you don't. There's more crazy creative miracles happening than ever before. I mean, crazy. And yet Jesus wants to do it through you. Randy Clark, when he got healed of his back, powerful healing ministry. Randy Clark, traveling the world, people healed of cancer, all this stuff, has ruptured discs and all this for years and stuff. And two people who are not really significant in our eyes pray for him and gets healed. And he's had the who's who pray for him as well. What's Jesus trying to say? It's about Christ in you. You see, here's something that I'm learning. I'm learning a lot. Since I have been here, how many of you have heard me before? Okay, good portion of you. Some of you know my story that I was sexually abused when I was younger and it ruined my life for most of the time. And I'm a free man today and I'm a papa to hundreds of people all over the place, right, sweetie? I just get the privilege of being a papa and loving people and being free and being able just to hang out with, you know, I think women are gorgeous. I think all women are gorgeous. Because they're created in the image of God. Doesn't matter if you're tall, short, skinny, fat, everything. I don't care. You're gorgeous. You're beautiful. And you've got to see the beauty of Christ in you. Now, you can't say to a guy, you're beautiful, because they'll go like, excuse me. But we're created in the image of God. I told him many times he's a handsome dude. He's just, you know, drop dead handsome. You know? And he is. He is. And his wife was happy for that, too. Jesus, thank you. I score a hunk. But you see, it's not just in that. It's do I recognize who Christ is in me? We just sang a song about love. See, we were given two commandments. Two. That encompasses the first 10. And when those two commandments on love, and see, you can't make it real. Only Holy Spirit can make it real to you. When that becomes to become your life, you look at people different. All of a sudden, see, because what's love? What's love? If somebody keeps falling into the same sin over and over and over again, does Jesus stop loving them? No. But why do we? Because it's about performance. They don't meet our standard. You should have got it right by now. You should know better. You should, excuse me. That's how God pulled my, he called my number. Excuse me. Who are you to judge them? Do you know their battle? Do you understand it? Do you see them, Peter, with my love?
Since you're asking, no. That's right. But I've called you by name to see them by love. See, Jesus wouldn't ask you to do something if he wouldn't equip you to do it. So if you can't do it, praise the Lord. I can't do it, Jesus. Thank you. You finally realized it. Yes. Call upon me. I shall answer you, says the word. You see, we're not given permission to judge. It says to judge all things. I get these here. It's called to judge all things. What does that mean? That means find out what is truth, the kingdom, and what is lie. You see, because Jesus never stops loving. Never. I've been studying NDEs, near-death encounters. You're going to hear about this all weekend. Don't, if you have time, don't miss a meeting. Not because of me, but God has given me a buffet of stuff that I'm feasting on every day. And I've been listening. This messed me up. I mean, really messed me up. I get messed up by him all the time. But this one was like, run into this wall as fast as you can and keep running. And I hit it. And it's just like, oh, Jesus, I can't miss this one. I'm reading about, this guy's been studying NDEs, near-death encounters, people who have died. Okay, and they were Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, atheists. They die. Some were going to hell, and all of a sudden, as they're just as the demons start, you know, smell of death and burning flesh and all that, all of a sudden, Jesus goes, ah, no, you're coming this way. Because there's two deaths. Gotta read the book. Don't wait for the movie. And so he brings them into heaven, and they come into heaven. This is what caught me. Hear me. This really hit me hard. Part three of this. Part one, they saw a video of their life. Everything they said, point one, everything they said, every word that came out of their mouth was exposed. Good, bad, or ugly, it's all recorded. Everything they did, everything. Because you see, you're in outside of time now. So you're seeing things from heaven's perspective. And then the third one is the one that hit me. Every thought you thought and held on to. You know when you judge somebody, criticize somebody in your thoughts? The Bible actually says when you do that, you've actually performed murder. You've committed adultery. You've done these things. And these people experienced this when they went to heaven. They saw it there. And they said they felt so much shame. Critical. Behind people back. It's all there. The movie's right there. Your whole life. And they feel shame like they've never felt. Because they see it.
from outside of time, heaven's perspective, the reality of what they did, and thought, oh my goodness, I didn't realize what my life really was about. And how important it was that the Bible says, you know, you're accountable for every word. They saw it for real. But here's what struck them. Okay? They all of a sudden turned around and they saw this man in the long black dress with a long beard. And all they felt was love. No shame, no judgment, just pure love like they had never ever experienced. A love that was not manipulating, not controlling, not even conditional. It was just, I love you because you were created to know my love. That struck me. That struck me this, I think it was February or March. I thought, oh, I'm doing really well. And I went, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. But you see, when that happened to me, I got to understand what fasting's about. What letting go of things is about. What the kingdom is about. That if I can't love myself the way my Jesus loves me, I'll never be free. But yet he's empowered me to love myself the way he loves me so that I can love others. He created me for it. That is how you are important to God. And it's not about even great programs. Let's have this program to teach people this. Let's have this program to do this. Let's have this program to do this. Programs are okay, but sometimes programs are not from God, even though they got all Christian stuff in it. Because what do you do in China? They don't have time or a place for programs. They don't have all this wonderful teaching. What about Iran? What about North Korea? All they have is the word and worship. The word and his presence. That's all they have. And yet people are being saved by the thousands every single day. People are being miraculously healed, transformed. God becomes their everything. Not ministry is about him, not what I do. It just flows. You see, you've all, every one of us here has been invited into that. God's precondition is, I love you and I called you by name. That's it. You're qualified. Right there. So you see, I tell you how God treats me. Okay? He just, when he asks me a question, I know he's not asking for an answer. I'm not. He's just trying to point something out. So we were doing a coaching seminar for 3.5 days called Transforming the Heart. And most Christians don't want to do it because it costs money. They just want to go to church to get it free and do nothing. And which is true. And so our team got together and they came and we did this teaching and everything. And I'm busy because there's one mother there. She's got a 3-month-old and she plugs him in, you know, for the little girl, plugs her in for a little while. She's quiet enough, takes her away. And then, so my job is to walk the baby around, you know. And I'm one of the coaches here, so I'm trying because so she can learn. And then I got to go do this and I got to do that. So I'm busy and all that. And finally, I get to sit down. And this is on day 3 of 3.5 days. And I get this question. Peter, do you know why you get offended sometimes? Why, Lord? Because you have a love deficiency. If you knew my love, you would never be offended. Because nobody would steal your joy because I become your everything. Because you realize hurt people hurt other people. You know what I've learned? To embrace the pain and the challenge I'm in and find Jesus in it. Because he's there. And I was sexually abused. It ruined me for most of my life. I lived as a victim. I did all that stuff. What, you guys know my story? And stuff with today? You know. You guys know me. I haven't married yet. Most of you. Some of you have. I'm married to a babe of God. And I love her. You know? She'll always be my brother. Nobody will come close to that. You know? And I just... It's a new picture. We were in Spain. Sorry, guys. we have arguments. We have arguments! Believe it! But it's usually me that starts it. And that's why God arrested me.
Why did you get offended by what she said, Peter? He just set me up. He talked to me about it. He explained it. And a week later, he sets me up just to prove to me that I get offended for something that was really stupid. Because when you look at it from heaven's perspective, it really is stupid. And I was like, oh, just, I did that. I had her do that just to prove to you how much it stinks. Because I want you to smell what it smells like so that you would hate it the way I hate it because I love you more. That hurt, but I embraced it. God, I can't do this. I need you more. He goes, I know. That's why I allow this to happen. God doesn't give you sickness. God doesn't give you disease. He doesn't cause accidents. He doesn't do it. But if you're continuing in a lifestyle of something that is denying God his place, you're going to hit the wall. I'm sorry. It's called rebellion. And he'll constantly try to reach out and touch you and touch you and say, hey, hello, I love you. Yeah, I know that. See, it's an intellectual understanding. You have an intellectual side of your brain and an emotional side. And if you have an emotional problem, you can't use your intellectual side to bring healing. You need an emotional encounter. You need the word, intellectual, and spirit, emotional. They need to come together. Please hear me. You were created for this. You're going to hear this all weekend if you're around. You'll hear it three times. And if you hear it three times, it's because you need to hear it three times. Because you see, I don't want you to have good teaching. I want you to encounter him. Every day. I teach people now through my coaching how to empower them so when I leave, they keep going from glory to glory to glory. They experience Jesus more and more and more. They learn how to hear his voice in every situation. I love it. I have the best job in the world. I am having more fun than I've ever had in ministry and in coaching now than I've ever had in life. Why? Because I found purpose. My purpose is I get to love him and he gets to love the hell out of me and then I get to love the hell out of others. And I'm having fun doing it. And when I leave, I see people empowered and growing. And I hear from people, dude, I didn't think I could hear Jesus all the time. I could just ask him a question and he answers me like this. And so many have said, I didn't know that was Jesus. I thought it was just me. I says, I know. I used to have that same spirit of stupid on me too. Yeah. But I don't anymore. Because he says, I'll say it again, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, call upon me, I shall answer. But what if we die in the church? We've taught this, maybe not this church, the other church down the street. What we've done is we say, oh, Jesus, can God, Jesus, come in your heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Oh, Jesus, come in. Oh. Okay, life is difficult. Jesus, you know, that could be a demon. You know, a demon could be talking to you. You know, or that could be just yourself. All of a sudden, Jesus becomes small. The same Jesus that came into you lives inside of you. And when he says, call upon me, I shall answer, he will be the first to answer you, not a demon. Because he's more powerful than the demons.
Yes.
We need to get back to the basics that Jesus, you are Lord of all. You got to look at challenges as opportunities to experience heaven on earth. Explain that to me in China and Iran. What's going to cost them their life? Where they honestly get the skin ripped off their backs. And they're just like, yeah, it hurts, but you can't take my life. I'm already dead. What is it they know we don't have? And we've got the Bible. We've got great worship music. We've got... I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to get you hungry. Because he's alive again. He's alive in you. He wants wherever you are, whether it's school, whether it's business, whether it's work, whatever, he wants you to know he placed you there so that people can smell heaven off you.
Yeah.
So they're going to start asking you questions. Because you see, everything you lay your hands to prospers.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you went from being a, I don't know how your grade system in Norway is, 1 to 6. And you went from being a level 2 to a number 5. And all of a sudden, 2-3 weeks, like, what happened? Well, it was Jesus. And I don't give you that. I've heard this. I don't give you that Jesus shit. It ain't shit, buddy. You know? It's Jesus, and he's real. And by the way, can I ask you a question? And then,
life.
It's the same Jesus who told me that. It's the one that you said was shit, is not shit. That's the everything, and he told me all that about you. Yeah. But you know what? He still loves you, even though you talk about him that way. Mm-hmm. Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You were created for greatness. You were created, and no matter what you do, heaven begins to increase in you. You were created. You've got a beautiful voice. I just need to tell you that. Seriously. It's dropped in. You just fit in like a hand in glove to the worship team that's here. You know, seriously. To me, I love Bethel. I love the worship there. And I've said it before. I love worship here. I get so inspired. The Holy Ghost shows up on me. He just kind of like does. And I just keep writing and writing and writing and writing. But maybe one day I'll write a book while I'm here. But seriously, because His Word is alive in me. It's alive in me. And when I get around the anointing, when I get around His presence, it stirs it up. It stirs it up. Why? So I can give it away. Find somebody to love. Find somebody to bless. Don't preach at them. Love them. Love them. Maybe they just need a cup of coffee. Maybe that's all they need. Maybe they just need to hear about Jesus, but don't pray for them because they don't want to pray. They're not ready. And people go, well, you know, you should be praying. Todd White gets accused of that a lot. You know, why don't you pray for them? Because Jesus wants you to pray for them. Because someone else sows the word, somebody else waters the word, and somebody else brings the miracle. You know what I mean about that? You see, it's not about me and my ministry. It's not about you and your ministry. It's about the one who called you by name and chose to live inside of you. And he's created you so much more. And so we've got to learn to let go of things that get in the way. Like I said, I'm going to be repeating this all weekend. You were created to see heaven manifest in you. God doesn't send things to destroy you. He sends things to empower you. Always. It says from glory to glory. From glory to glory. We're going to have struggles. That's the world we live in. That's broken and fallen. But if we find it in the midst of the trauma, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the difficulties, if we find them, we'll know the peace that surpasses all understanding. And you won't fear the problems. You'll embrace them. You know what's happened to me in the last 3 weeks? It's kind of funny. I can't believe it comes out of my mouth now. Sure. But when the difficult times come right now, I get excited because I know there's a blessing. I'm like, dude, when did you do that in me? I sometimes call him dude. Dude, when? It's just, I've always been there. I just opened your eyes to see it. But it started with the reason why you get offended, Peter. It's because you have a love deficiency in that area in your life. Ask me, and I'll begin to fill you with my love. Bit by bit. Some will get it faster. Be happy. Bless somebody when they get blessed. Because when you judge them, you stop your blessing. It's amazing how much we live the Word and we don't know it. You know? Judge not. Or you be judged.
Why do they get blessed? Why do they shaky, shaky, shaky? Why are they happy? Why is it, oh, why does she got such a gorgeous voice? I sing like four-part harmony all by myself. Why isn't it? I just don't like it. Why does he look like a hunk and I'm just looking like this, you know? And it's like, oh my gosh, and all that, oh, look at the clothes they have, and this, and this, and this, blah, blah, blah. It's stuff.
Who's the one that lives in you? He wants you to know how much he really, really loves you all the time. That's what they know in China. There's an amazing move of God happening in Iran right now. In the midst of the Muslim country, Jesus has said, I think I'm going to show up. Well, they can't preach in the mosque, so I'll hit a few of those leaders in the mosque. And then they have a problem with it. Because now they're safe. They can't be in the mosque anymore. You know who's leading the church in Iran? Women. Women.
Yes.
Sorry, guys, but it's the women. They're the leaders. And women are emotional. Men are logical. Most. This man ain't logical.
That's my wife.
But you hear what I'm trying to say? You gave up, some of you, okay, you fasted. Some of you didn't. You're going to feel, oh, man, I didn't fast. Oh, I feel bad. Oh, shut up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. You messed it. You missed up. Okay? Praise the Lord. Make a choice. Lord, what can I give up for you? But more than that, what can I gain from you? What can I gain from your love? You sang a song earlier, when the light of God comes, darkness flees. Here's what's interesting. I've got 2 more minutes to talk. I've got lots. I've got like 3 books worth of stuff since I've been here last year. When darkness is there, it's not just darkness. There's sin in the darkness. Mm. So when the light of His truth, of His love comes, darkness flees. So what it is, what's exposed is the sin, the unbelief. Mm. So when it gets exposed and the light becomes stronger, the truth of God's word and presence gets stronger, then the sin loses its control in your life and it's replaced with the light and the power of His word. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to keep reading the word, whether you understand it or not. You just keep shoving it in. You just keep reading it. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'll shove it in. You make it real. Mm-hmm. You know, let Him be Holy Spirit. Your name is not Holy Spirit. You know, that's why it's not, you don't have a right to judge anybody. You don't have a right to change anybody. Who do you think you are to change somebody? You can't take credit for it. You're too stupid. Sorry. Because just when you figured you got them all helped out, they'll start listening to somebody else. Get what I'm trying to say? I'm a coach. I coach people. I empower people. But how do I empower them? I lead them to an encounter with Jesus every time I coach with them. Every single, because what do? I always say, ask Jesus this question. Then they answer it. There's a whole thing. And I says, now ask Him this question. What did I just do? I empowered you to walk in the revelation of the Word and the Spirit. And I'm seeing more breakthrough in people's lives than I've ever seen. I have less work and I make the same amount of money. I think it's awesome. Less work. But then I get more clients and I make more money and I get more to give away. It's about the kingdom at hand. Do you hear my heart?
Yeah.
I'm not here to preach at you, please. I'm here to tell you He really is your everything. And He's invited you to it. I've been humbled by His love so much. And you know what? I've only just begun to be humbled by it. I cry so much. Today I got a gift from a friend of mine from Israel. And I got a prayer shawl that I've worn for years. And I have to go to my room and just cry. Because He knows what the desire of your heart really is. He really knows, and His passion is to bless you. For some of you, you don't trust love because love is pain. Love is rejection. Love is conditional. You see, there is a day of judgment. Until then, He will pursue you and pursue you and pursue you, no matter how many times you fail. And as I've been studying and reading about these NDEs and the stories, how people who, she's blind, so she's never seen, she dies, she leaves her body, she's in the room, she's looking down, she goes, oh, that's what I look like. And then she leaves, you know, and goes to heaven, and then she comes back, she says, I went to heaven, and this. They're like, lady, cuckoo. You know, she goes, well, if you think I'm cuckoo, why is it that the doctor was the only one that didn't have the blue things on his feet? Everybody else had those little blue things on his feet, but he had his white running shoes. I saw that. How did you see that? I told you. I left my body, and I went to heaven, and that's what... And so she pointed out specific things that she saw. Another guy, I'll tell you one more story real quick. A guy was unconscious. They brought him into the hospital. And there's thousands and thousands of these stories. Thousands of them. And he's unconscious. And they have to stick one of those hoses down his throat. Now, he has dentures, fake teeth. So you can't stick a hose down when the teeth are there. So you've got to take the teeth out. So they take the teeth out, put them in a cup, and put it in this little thing with wheels in it. And they wheel it over there. So meanwhile, he dies and goes to heaven, has this encounter with Jesus, and sees his life and all that stuff, and he says, you got to go back and all that stuff. And he comes back, and it's like, where's my teeth? We don't know. Oh, yeah, I know. That nurse over, he was unconscious. That nurse right there, she took the teeth out of my mouth. She put it in this little dish there, put it in a tray, and the tray is down the hall, around the corner in this little room. Described it perfectly where it was, and they went there and found his dentures. You see, there's a whole spiritual realm. That's why he says, life and death is in your tongue. Mm. That's why he says, call upon me and I shall answer. That's why he says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's why he says, you're a spirit. This flesh is temporary. It's about the reality of Christ in you. You were created that wherever you place your feet is holy ground. The more you're aware of the holiness of God, the more you're aware of His love, the more you're aware of His love, not as an intellectual thing, but it's an actual, I know you trust me, but this, it's a feeling, really, I can smell it, I can taste it, you can. Because He knows what we were created for. When we begin to step into that, it starts to grow. Now, I'm having my challenges, believe me, but I'm excited. I can smell more is coming. More is coming. You know, hallelujah, Jesus, what are you going to do? You know, I have problems with my car. I've got problems with this. And all. I said, Jesus, awesome, what are you going to do? I'll take a Tesla. Jesus, you know. You're taking orders, you know, and stuff. But there's other things, tools I need to do my work. And I just said, Jesus, I need this and this and this. And he reminded me of something he told me 10 years ago. He said, no, you don't need these things. You need me. And I'll give you what you need. I'll put it on somebody's heart. God bless you. Do you understand? If he was able to show this about their lives when they went to heaven, that means he knows every DNA cell in your body. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly what you need. But he's waiting for you to recognize and know who he is in you. You're not a failure. You're not a mistake. You may be failing at some things. You may be making mistakes, but that's not your identity. Your identity now is Christ in you. Okay. And he wants you to begin to see that and understand. The reality is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you. My job is to focus you back on Jesus, not on me and my ministry. Me and my ministry died years ago. I don't give a rip about it anymore. I just, who can I love? Who can I honor? Who can I trust today to make a difference? So that they, when I walk away, they know that they know that Jesus is more real than he was 5 minutes ago. And you see, we're all empowered to do that. All of us are empowered to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Give me more of an amen.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like I'm at that point. And you know what? Yeah. You know what I love about Bethel? They don't have it all right, but they have some things right. You're seeing more creative miracles. I know because I get that every Saturday from the healing rooms. I get what happened, people were here. It's insane. It's insane what's happening of the creative miracles. They're expecting body parts now to start growing up. Their expectancy level keeps going up because they just keep stepping out. Well, Jesus is the healer. We'll just step up. Let's just heal them. They don't pray for the sick. They heal the sick. Different focus. Praying means verbal diarrhea of the mouth sometimes. I just keep doing it, and I pray people out of their faith for a miracle. We work so hard. We get the right words. We do all that stuff, and the Holy Ghost is going, I ain't there. There's no faith. You know what? I pray for people who have zero faith and watch them be healed. Because at that moment, I have enough faith for them. And sometimes I know. So then I get on my knees. I say, Jesus, I need more of you. Because I have nothing to give them if you don't show up. But yet you call me to this. Fill me afresh. Fill me afresh, Jesus. Make your word and your spirit alive in me. Transform me. I hate things that get between me and you, Jesus. Change me, Lord. See, if I screw up, I'm willing to take responsibility for it.
but I want to brag about who he is.
You don't need me to pray for you tonight. I can if you want. But what you need to do is I want you to do something right now. I want you to ask Jesus this question. And I want you to say it, and I don't want you to say it inside. In Norwegian, we call it the inny prayer. I says, no, confession comes with the mouth. So I want you to pray with the mouth. But I don't want you to pray so loud that the people down the street hear you. Okay? Just say it like Jesus and ask him this question. Okay? Remember, he always comes to honor. Okay? Jesus, this is what I want you to ask him. Okay? And I want you to, okay, here's the rules. First thing you see, hear, or feel. First thing, it takes like 30 seconds for him to talk to you. It doesn't take a week of prayer and fasting for Jesus to talk to you. I'm sorry, that's become a tradition in the church because they have no faith that he's faithful. There's seasons where he calls us to a 21-day fast. Do you know why he calls us to a 21-day fast? Because he's got a few things he wants to kill in you. Killing you softly with his love. Killing you softly. That's the reality. So here's the question I want you to ask him. Right now, if you're serious about stepping into more of loving him for who he is, I want you to ask this question. Okay? And then I want you to listen. Don't figure it out. Is that God or is it not? That's not your job. Your job is to ask and listen. Keep it simple. Okay? Please, please, trust me. Trust me, I've been doing it and I'm amazed. Here's the question, ready? Jesus, what do you think of me right now? Go ahead, ask him. I want to see the lips moving.
Jesus, open the door.
Okay, what did you get? Okay, here's the next part of the rules. If you want to be a church, you got to be willing to step out and take a chance. You got to not be afraid of people here in this room when you step out. You got to stop being afraid of making a mistake. Stop it. Okay, just stop. Okay, just take a chance. You may be surprised. So, who felt or seen or heard something? Just put up your little pinky.
Come on.
How many of you think you may have gotten something? How many of you think you got nothing? Yeah, they're afraid to put up their hands because they know me. Okay, tell me some of the things you got. Feelings, pictures,
loving.
Words. Huh?
Loving.
Who else? Come on.
I take care of you.
What's that?
I take care of you.
I take care of you. Who else? Come on. Come on.
Awesome.
Huh?
Awesome.
Awesome. They say awesome.
Or awesome. She said.
Come on. Come on. Mm. Who else? Come on. Come on. Step out, church.
You bring me joy.
Huh?
You bring me joy.
He, you bring him joy? Oh, my gosh. Hoy vey. You bring Jesus joy? Oh, my God. Oh. Take me home. No, seriously. What did that mean to you?
It said something about, I don't know, what I'm created for.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you don't have to try hard to do that.
Oh, no.
Exactly. That's it. Who else? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, I've got the four amigos right there. Come on, come on, ladies. Talk to me, talk to me. What's that?
Awesome.
Come on, come on. Hey, you guys must know the same Jesus. Who else? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, ladies, ladies.
Loving daughter.
What's that?
Loving daughter.
Loving daughter. Okay, if you got that one, I'd be worried. You know, I didn't think of it. Come on, who else? Come on, come on.
Intelligent as a ballerina.
Say that really loud.
Intelligent as a ballerina and English clapping.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Have you ever heard stuff like that before? No, no. So that's quite significant to you. Did you see what he's saying? Angels are clapping. Mm. Talks about worship unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you're able to step into a realm where you can begin to hear what's going on in heaven. And what was the other one?
Attitudes
Elegant is a ballerina. Again, that's a worship. That's a heart of worship. That's a heart. And the elegance, there's elegance also carries with it strength, agility, grace. And he says, my grace is sufficient to apply. You see, it's loaded. This is why I do what I do. My job is to interpret it. Then what I do in this case, if I had somebody else to say, okay, Jesus, this is the next question I want you to ask, okay? Jesus, so what do you want me to do with this right now? Ask them that question.
Jesus, what do you want me to do right
now? As soon as you get something, tell me.
Love other people.
Love other people. Jesus, how do I do that? Ask them that question. See, you just heard Jesus speak too. What does that do for you?
Makes you warm.
Now, what would happen? This is what I do in my coaching. This is what I do with people all the time. My coach has an app called Questions for Jesus, where you can start to learn to do this more. See, I don't make any money off this. I don't give a rip. I just want to see you empowered. Imagine if we in the church would start to do this all the time. When I'm standing back there in worship, nobody said to me, in this room is more than enough people to see revival for this nation.
Wow.
But if you can't see it, you never will see it. This is how you see it. The more you experience His love, the more you can't contain it. The more it warms you up. And then here, ask Him this question. Jesus, how do I love the unlovables, those that are hard? How do I do it, Jesus?
Jesus, how do I love the unlovables? See them through my eyes.
Did you hear that? Say it loud.
See them through my eyes.
See them through my eyes. So what did you just do? You had an encounter with Jesus. I leave on Tuesday. You've now stepped into a realm of hearing Him, encountering Him, experiencing Him. So what happens? You become empowered. So you, what do you become? You become a change of your lives because Christ flows through you. What did I do? My job's done. We're all created for this. This is who we really are, church. This is how we make a difference. And you know, even if everything we do then, we do in excellence. Because then, whether we're in school studying, we say, okay, Jesus, how can I give you glory when I'm only a level 2 student? Jesus, you said I have the mind of Christ. So Jesus, help me to learn this thing better. And I just thank you for that. I give you praise and glory. Lord Jesus, how do I make this business more successful? We'll begin to pray like this. He'll start telling you how to pray. What do I do about this? He'll tell you how to pray. You see, you're not the future, you're the now. I've said this for years. And revival is not about the youth. I am against youth revival because there's nothing in the Bible about it. I've said this for years. It's not about a youth revival. We've got to kill that. That is not the truth of God. It's about one body.
Yes. Yeah.
The youngest to the oldest. And if we don't start loving the youngest and empowering the youngest, if we don't start believing in the older, then and most of the older generation is bitter. We are. Many of us are so bitter because things are not the way we wanted it to be. And who do you think you are that you're experiencing the Holy Ghost now? So what do you have? You have the privilege to love the hell out of them. And not judge them. And when you do that, it brings them back to their first love and empowers you for more. And it doesn't steal your joy. It's a joy unspeakable full of glory. That's who you are. That's who you are. That whatever you lay your hands to prospers. Wherever you work, it succeeds. Even if they're all swearing and you're walking to a place and the guy's got pictures of the naked girls in the wall. You don't get offended by that. You don't get offended because I'm more aware of Jesus. In fact, you're going to get offended by my Jesus because your sin's going to hate the glory of the Lord that shines on me. And I haven't even said Jesus once.
But when I walk in the room, because I'm so aware of Jesus, the presence of God comes in and convicts you of your sin. Jesus does it. I just get to love you. Hey, how you doing? And all that stuff. Oh, yeah, man, I went out and slept around, slept with this girl, and I got drunk and all that stuff. And you're not offended by that. Oh, that's what we do in the church. Oh, stay away from those people. They're sinners. Bible says don't associate with sinners. Well, how the heck are they going to get saved if you don't love them?
Yeah. Yes.
Associate means don't do what they do. Do you understand how powerful you really are? The King of Glory lives in you. Along the way, you're going to stumble and fall. Praise the Lord! Get up! That's what I said to you. You're worth loving. I'll never change my attitude to you. And I said, I'll never replace your mom and dad. It's not my job, but my job is to love you, and I will love the hell out of you. I will believe in you. I think you're beautiful. I think you're gorgeous. I think you're incredible. I think you're this and that. That's all I could say, because that's all I could see in you. And you know it. Your mom knows it. Your dad knows it. That's all I could see. And I just couldn't let go of that. I think, God, why? Why did you put that in me? He says, because you're willing to give it away. Do you know how much I cry when he says things like that? And he wants to say it to you. So, Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that your presence is here. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here right now. Thank you that you're putting dreams and visions in the lives of these people here, beginning to show their place in the kingdom, how to cause things to begin to happen, to see that they're a part of the church. Because they're a part of you, Jesus. How they can begin to believe for finances. How they can begin to even believe and ask you, Lord, how do we pray for a new building? How do we pray for this business, this Riverside, for a new place? Lord, speak to me so I know how to partner with you. How can I be an influence in society, Lord? Because you created me. You called me by name. Lord, show me that whatever I lay my hands to prosper. Make your word alive for me. Make me hungry for your word. Make me so hungry that I just keep shoving it in and it keeps pouring out of me. Jesus, you invited me to this. Thank you that you meet me right where I'm at and you're not judging me. Just like those people that went to heaven. You didn't judge them even though they saw all their failures and sins. You just loved them. Jesus, I need to know that love, Marcus. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I didn't go too long. I don't have a watch. It broke. So actually, I had an eye watch. My son really liked it, so I just gave it to him. And he's like, Dad, that's yours. No, it's not mine. You gave it. I gave it to you. This is, what happened to you? Did you know what that cost? Yes, I did. But see, I don't care about these things anymore. I don't care. It's just an Apple Watch. I don't care. God wants me to give me another one.
Yo, give me another one.
I don't care. I'm just blessed. I'm blessed. You're blessed. So what I want you to do right now, can I ask them to do one thing? Okay? I want you to find somebody in this room. I'm known for this. I have a reputation for this. I am a holy pain in your butt. I want you to find somebody that you've never really talked to or prayed for. And as you're going, I know it's uncomfortable, but you're going to die right now. And you get to die right here, and you can thank me for it later. Okay? And I don't want a big, thus saith the Lord, I do this. No. Keep it simple. K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. Okay? And it's just keep it simple. The Christian version is keep it simple, silly. You know, but find somebody and just ask the Lord for a 15, 30 second word or picture to give to them. And take a chance at believing that God wants to speak through you. Because when you take that step, I tell you, it's shaky. It's still shaky for me at times. Because my insecurity and fear of being wrong gets so stinking big
that Jesus is just this little.
If I make a mistake, I'm going to look really stupid.
You know, it's like this Hulk. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger for the older ones. You know, it's just, oh, you made a mistake. No. No. Take a chance, you'd be surprised.
just like I was surprised on the train this morning from the lady that was listening to us as we were talking and stuff like that. And she was just being so rocked by it and everything as we were talking about Jesus and signs and wonders and all that stuff. And then everybody else says, well, can I ask you a question? You love kids, don't you? And you really love kids. She goes, yes, don't you know? Because science is hard. And Jesus told me that, and I want to pray for you. Please do. And she stands up. This is my normal life now. Whatever. It's just like, okay, who's next? So find somebody. Look around the room. Don't look at who they are. Except, is that the one, Jesus? And just go. Ready? Set? Go! Get up off your rumpus, your butts. Find somebody.
Come.
Bless them. Love the hell out of them.
You're so good.